Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanere Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. And tonight, we are about to go on a journey. You see, how many of you want a better life for yourself? You don't go and follow somebody who doesn't have a better life. Hallelujah. And you see, to walk with an anointed person like Bishop Dag, it takes a certain level of grace. It takes a certain level of favor, and it takes a certain level of anointing. And Bishop Ogo has worked with our prophet for many, many years. He carries the anointing that is upon our prophet. So tonight you are about to receive words that are coming direct from our own prophet. Bishop Ogo, this is your church. We are excited to have you here with us. Please speak what is on your heart, because we believe that God brought you here to change our life, to change our ministry. Put your hands together. Give the Lord a shout as we welcome Bishop Ogo to the pulpit. We love you so much.
Hallelujah. What a blessing to be here tonight. What a blessing to be selected. If you are in a group of five girls and a nice spiritual brother comes into the system, befriends all the five girls, and after 2 years, he chooses Sheila and leaves Abigail, Mamiefia, Mensima. Honestly, you ask yourself that, what do I lack? Do we have different pudenda? It is a very, very great thing to be selected. And I'm sure you know that if you are standing here, I hope you know that you are not here because you wanted to be here. You are here because God selected you. You know, there are many things that we call blessings. When they happen to us, when you pass your exam, when somebody gives you a car, when you get a ticket to go to Dusseldorf on holidays. But I want you to know and identify one blessing that is overarching, and that is the blessing of being selected. The blessing of being selected by God. Psalm 65 and verse 4 says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Wherever you are, at the back, in front, you have been chosen. And your being chosen is your blessing. You may not have a car like your friend, but consider yourself blessed because you have been chosen. Chosen by God. And from that very blessing of your selection, you will have a car, a house, a wife, a life, a blessing, just by being chosen. So it is my prayer that you will not trivialize this privilege you have. I'm saying again, the privilege of standing here, that you are here, you are here. It means you've been selected. And don't let anything, good, bad, or ugly, take this blessing away. Let them take your car. Let them take your job. Don't let them take this one. From this one will come another car. Tonight, I want to share with you a few things. We are leaving early today. And something very big happened here yesterday, last night. And one of the blessings we have in life is the blessing of a second chance. In case you missed the first chance, God is a God of a second chance. When men write you off, He signs you on. Many of you who came here last night, and some of you who were not here last night, you missed one time of your life. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will be able to minister whatever went on here. But many of you did not acquire your copy or your copies of these three books from a child. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, we which are able to make you wise unto salvation. These classics were written by Bishop Oku Botedohu. And if all he came to do on earth was to produce this, he's done his job. These three books are a product of decades of experience in ministry, pastoring children. And you, I just want to add, if I add 10 years to your life, 15 years to your life, you will discover that there's no level of prosperity or happiness or greatness you will enjoy if your children are a problem. A lot of the people who came to see Jesus, at least in the accounts in the four Gospels, came to him because of their children. Because a time will come into in your life, no matter how well and good you feel, if your child is not well, it means you are not well. If your child is on drugs, it means you are on drugs. So the wise will take care of the child as he takes care of himself. The wise will take care of the child as he takes care of himself. And I want you to abandon immaturity and take a step of faith to imagine your life in some few years to come. The children that will come from you, what life will they live? And in the entire world, see, I've been a Christian for 40 years. 40 years. I've traveled the length and breadth of the world, the entire globe. There are few things written for children and about children in the Lord. I want to give these books out for as many of you as will pick this for 100 Ghana cedis. If you are interested, if your child has no life, it means you have no life. You are as happy as your child is happy. You are as spiritual as your child is spiritual. You can shrug it off. You can whatever. So I want to give you this as your ticket to spiritual children. Wow. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Please give it to them. Yes. Thank you, sir. Clap your hands for our. There were children in the upper room. If you need your book, come and pick it right now. There were children in the upper room. The Art of Shepherding Children. Yes. Come and pick your copy. If your money is not here, I want you to come, still come, get your name, your details. We will know what to do after that. The rest of you can be seated. I want to welcome Freda to give us a song. Come and pick your book. If you want them to come to you, just lift your hand. There's room service tonight.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bonsem kese pama Jesus anyumre. Mami tiwude ne kese pama anyumre.
Jesus. Tonight, I am attempting to bring to a conclusion a very, very important a very important message the Lord gave me to give to you. And I want you to visit the conference website, podcast, and listen to the 4 installments in this series on God the Rewarder. Yes. God the Rewarder. You need it. Any Christian who hasn't heard this message and doesn't hear this message will suffer a permanent deficit in his walk with God. You are very privileged to be here today. And I want you to listen very, very, very carefully. Very well, astutely, for the few minutes I have to share this with you. Because whatever you are looking for from God depends on this message. I want to start tonight from where I left off this afternoon. And I left off from 15:16. You know, it's a favorite verse here. Yeah. 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Ah, that is it again. So once again, that's the point. Exactly what I was saying a few minutes ago. You've been chosen. You know, there are a lot of things that are happening to us that have really affected our walk with God negatively. Like I said yesterday, your interest in God's omnipresence is what has robbed you of your understanding of God as a rewarder. Your interest in God's omnipotence, which doesn't concern you. If you have not mastered the subject of God the Rewarder, because he said anybody who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder. Those are the two things that must concern you. That God is rewarding you for every action, because that is his work. His work on earth now. He has finished making the rivers. Any new river is a river a politician has created from Accra to Kumasi. God is not making new rivers. He's not making new stars. He's not making new constellations. If they find a new constellation, it existed. Man has just found it. Elohim is only doing one thing on earth. And that is what he's saying should concern you. And what he is doing on earth now is that he is rewarding. If he happens to heal you, that healing is a reward for a behavior. If he happens to boost your sperm count, it is a reward for something. He is a rewarder. That is what God is doing. And your business is to find out, what can I do or must I do to enjoy this reward? I told you this morning, What you call a prayer topic is actually a reward from God you are looking for. He will not do it just because you prayed. If you will list your prayer topics, you will notice that only a few have been answered. Only a few of your prayers have been answered. Most of your prayers have not been answered, because what you are calling a prayer topic is actually a reward God is giving you. And a reward is something that is given for a prior behavior. So what must concern you in this life is, what are the things I must do to trigger a reward from God? That is why we are sitting here in the Art of Evangelism conference, because evangelism is not a church growth gimmick. Evangelism is not something God needs your help to do. If God wants to win the world, He can win the world in 1 second. There is no soul you will bring to Christ that God by His power cannot save on His own. Signboards have saved people. If God says you must win souls, He's not asking you to win souls because He needs your help to win the world. If He says you must win souls, it's just His attempt to create a pretext and a context for Him to reward you with certain blessings. That can only come because you want a soul. He's a law-abiding God. He related with Israel through laws. God is a law, law-giver, law-obeyer. God follows laws. He is not a lawless person. On the last day, the people He will reject in Matthew 7 will be rejected on the basis of their lawlessness. The didactors of the King James Version made a few things difficult for us. One of them is Matthew 7, "Depart from me, I never knew you." On that day, many will come and say, "Lord, Lord, Lord, Lord." It says, "Many who call me Lord, Lord will not enter the kingdom of heaven." You will not enter heaven because you call Him Lord. Even with reasons. Lord, I preached at Art of Evangelism conference. Lord, I sang at Art of Evangelism conference. Lord, I healed the sick. I cast out devils. That's not the basis for your entry into heaven. The basis for your entry into heaven is your obedience to laws. And the primary law that will take you into heaven is Deuteronomy 20. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. I'm currently preaching a message titled, "Give Thyself Wholly." Give thyself wholly. It's on my podcast. You might as well go and listen to it. It is in University of Science and Technology that you can get first class with 90%, 80%. God doesn't understand 99%. God is 0 or 100. You never pass with God. You don't pass with 98%. With God, you don't pass with 97%. God doesn't know 99%. He only understands 100%. So those of you who have given part of your heart to your wife, I don't know what is left for you to enter heaven with. Those of you girls who have given part of your heart to a boy who gave you KFC. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. Go to my podcast and listen to Give Thyself Holy. Is there? And the didactors of the King James Version said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, ye that work iniquity, ye that work iniquity. So most of us think that you will not enter heaven because of iniquity, like fornication, smoking, drinking, sexiness. Yes. Stealing, killing will rob you of your entry into heaven. But the real reason why people will not be admitted to heaven, unfortunately, was left out by the King James Bible translators. The word is not iniquity. The word is lawless. Lawless. If you look at the word that is iniquity, the word iniquity, it's not iniquity as in sin and so. It's law. When you break a law, you run your ship aground. There are laws. The New American Standard Bible, if you have it. Change le version. Yes, this is it. This is the right translation. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Many of you are lawless. One of the laws you are breaking is that you are not loving the Lord God with all. You have left some of your heart to Burner Boy. You have left some of your heart to Tiwa Savage. You have left some of your heart to Asake. Some of you have left some of your heart for your wife, for your beloved, for your husband. I'm not joking. God doesn't. He is a jealous God. He will never share you with your husband. What you are going to use to love your husband, it's up to you. You can use batteries. He will never share you with your wife. You can never give part of what is for God to your wife. Oh. So even when Jesus came, somebody came to him to ask him that, Master, which is the overarching commandment? And he quoted 6:5. Jesus. So 6:5 is not an Old Testament reality. That because they were archaic and backward, they gave all their might to God, all their strength to God, all their heart to God, all their mind to God, all their soul. Today in the New Testament era, we are also supposed to give all. All. Somebody here is into pool parties and parties. There's a girl here. Yeah. You are sitting here because it is church time. But you are not a God girl. You are a church girl. You are not a God girl. I don't have time for you tonight. He instituted marriage. Marriage is not one of man's governmental ideas like socialism, democracy, communism, and all the isms and schisms. Marriage is God's idea. He started it in the Garden of Eden. He still insists you will never share your husband with you. You can never give part of your heart to your wife. Once God sees that what you must give him is being given to Stanbic Bank, it's being given to Bank of Ghana, it's being given to KNUST, he will either kill you or kill the job, because God kills. He is a killer. If he has called you to use you, and he sees that you are loving your wife more than you love him or too much, he will kill your wife. Yes. The Lord killeth and the Lord maketh alive. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are doing your business. Do it well. Be very careful it doesn't affect your love for God, because he will kill your business. He will kill your business. The Lord killeth. He's not just a life giver. He kills. He will kill your parents. A lot of deaths are not caused by devils. They are caused by God. He kills. When he wants to use you and he realizes that your mother is standing in the way of the call, he will kill your mother, because your tendency will be to obey your mother more than God. He will kill your father. A lot of our parents who are dead were killed by God. Anybody who is jealous can kill. A jealous wife can poison. Jealousy. Jealousy. A lot of deaths are caused by jealous husbands, jealous wives, jealous spouses, jealous girlfriends. There are some people, they don't like it at all when they see that you are liking somebody. Yeah. Like my granddaughter. She doesn't like it at all when she sees that her mother is hugging me and we are holding ourselves. Her own mother, she will start crying. Somebody who just came a year ago. I've had my daughter for close to 30 years. Yesterday she gave birth to you. You are crying. Ah! And she can cry till all the 7 teeth are showing. Jealous. Those of you who think that you can get away with lawlessness. Laws govern our lives in this kingdom. There are laws. There are laws that govern your church attendance. Don't be lawless. There are laws. Read your Bible. There are laws. There are laws that govern your prayer life. They are not just teachings in the Bible. They are laws. There are laws that govern the use of your money. Tithing is a law. Don't be lawless. That's why you owe it to yourself to read your own Bible yourself and not let some demon-possessed so-called pastor on Facebook guide you in your relationship with God as far as money is concerned. Can you imagine a pastor convincing me not to pay tithes? Imagine it, that I don't pay tithe because a pastor preached. Tonight, I want to end by taking you to 15:16. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you and ordained you. I am, you see, like Deuteronomy 6:5. I mean, we didn't know it was a law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, thou shalt love. It is Jesus who picked it as a law. I am reading a law in English. I am reading John 15 verse 16. It's one of God's laws. And you may miss heaven because you disobeyed this law. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Somebody should be checking if it abates. Because there's no storm that is forever. That storm in your life will calm down soon. I said John 15:16 is a law. Why is it a law? Look at it. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should. You should do this. You should buy the dress. You should go and pick the cups. You should sweep. The word should connotes a lack of options. That you should go. So, evangelism is not one of the options. It's not like singing or outreach, dancing or evangelism. I'm going for the prayer meeting or it's not one of the ors. You should go. Ha! It's a law. You gotta go, baby. You gotta go. A day will come. God will ask you, did you go? I said you should go. I saved you to go. Did you go? 2 Corinthians 5:20. For we are ambassadors for Christ. Did you go? Evangelism is not an alternative to playing of keyboards. Evangelism is not an alternative to preaching in the church. Go! There are many things we don't do because we are not interested or we can't do. So we do other things. There are law students who are studying law because they couldn't do science. There are Akito students who could have been in electrical engineering, but they did not like electricals. You don't like it. You like Akito, so you do Akito. Evangelism is not one of those nonsense behaviors. You don't do prayer because you don't like evangelism. Evangelism is a core subject. I don't think, I hope you are not playing this keyboard because you think that playing this keyboard absolves you of your responsibility to go. I pray so.
I pray you are not punctual in church because you feel that being punctual in church is an alternative to going. Going out is a mandatory activity. Going out, go. It's not one of the alternatives. It has no alternative. You fail, go, you have failed your walk with God. I don't know which course you can do. I don't know. I'm sure there are. If you fail English, you get 9 in English. I'm sure there are courses you can do. Oh, they won't even accept your form. There's a lecturer here. The form, when they see English, F12, they will throw your form away. One day, they will throw your form away in heaven because they saw F12 in evangelism. I saved you that you should go. You should. It's a law. In England, there was a time when you are driving around, you see big signboards. Buckle up is the law. Seatbelt is not a suggestion. There's a law passed in parliament. Buckle up is the law. That's all. The English, buckle up, it is the law. That's all. Go, it is the law. And one reason why it is the law is that God needs to bless you. He needs, as your creator, as your savior, He needs to bless you. And He doesn't bless, He rewards as a blessing. What you are calling a blessing is a reward. And for there to be a reward, there must be a prior activity. Anyone who comes to me should know that I am a rewarder. That is it. You see, your understanding of God the rewarder must be so deep because it is hurting you. There are many things you will never get until you do what must trigger that. I'll take it again. There are certain things God knows that you need it. You need them. He will never give them to you until you do what must trigger. Those who did biochemistry know there are things that trigger chemical reactions. Not all pathways are activated all the time. There are triggers. Once there is hyperuricemia, it triggers a pathway. Once there's hypoglycemia, it triggers the Krebs cycle. Hello? Things don't just happen. I said, check your prayer topics. List them. Write down the prayers you've been praying. The things you've been asking God, I'm telling you, most of them haven't been answered. And it's not about to answer them because you are asking for something. You think it's a prayer topic. He sees it as a reward. Jesus was with his disciples for years. He never gave them power until Luke 10, when he sent them and they went and they came back, then he said, now I give you power. That power was already with him. Is it possible? This morning I taught them that we are responsible for the cessation of seasons. there are things going on in your life, no God will end it. You must end it. I am tending to agree with the humanists who say that you are the architect of your life. I'm tending to agree. I'm confessing that you are the architect of your life. Anything God will do for you, He will do it because you triggered it by a behavior. I love them that love me. So if you want God to love you, you must love Him. If you deny me, I will deny you. This is one of them. Answering of prayers, 15:16. It's not every prayer that is answered. You are the architect of answered prayers. You determine how your prayers are answered. It's not God. That whatsoever you shall ask is at the bottom. Whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, He may give it. It's at the bottom. There are things on top of it. You don't do the things on top of it. You don't get the things at the bottom of it. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against me. Can you continue? No weapon formed against me. You determine it. It's not God. You are the architect of your destiny. You are forming your destiny by the decisions you are taking every day. Because as for God, He stands there. If you humble yourself, He will lift you up. If ever you are lifted up in future, it is because you created a condition that would make God to lift you up. If ever you are lifted up in life, you caused it. You take the first step, then He responds. He is a responder. He is a rewarder. If ever God brings somebody down, it will not be God who did it. You gave Him no choice. Always the first choice is yours. You determine how God relates with you. The first choice is yours. Say first choice. So you are not at the mercy of your enemies, and you are not just the God doesn't, like, He sees that you are crying and He sees that you are broke, then He sends someone to send you mumu. When you don't pay your tithes, look at your beard. Do you pay tithes? God is not moved by what He sees. He saw the man at Bethesda. He asked him, "Do you want to be made whole?" What a question. What a question. If I were the man, I'd ask, "But what do you think I'm doing here?" It's not okay to you. Let me enter the congregation here. It's not okay to you. You are determining more things about your life than you think you are doing. You are determining even the things God will do. You determine what God does. If ever God will lift you up, it is because you allowed Him to lift you up. God doesn't just lift up. you must take the first step of bringing yourself down. That humbling work is your work. The lifting up is his work. That is why we evangelize. Evangelism is our first move. When you make that first move, God is bound, because he's a law abiding God. He's a law God. I would say he's a lawyer. He uses law. He uses laws. He is into laws. You don't obey laws. Those of you, most of them are at the back. The lawless ones sit at the back most of the time. Not all. Not all. I'm not saying all. But most backbenchers are lawless. Even they don't have respect for when a church service starts. Oh, I should stop preaching and go to my house. I will go. Hey, nobody has told you, sir, when a church service starts should be of great concern to you. Because God knows time. He's a God of the seasons. Remember, summer, winter, he created them. He made morning, he made night. He knows 7:20. He knows 6:30. That is why he said, I love them that love me, and those who seek me early. Don't think you are the only one who knows the difference between late and early. God is the creator of early and late. Those who seek me early. You are not early, forget it. You don't want to attend the meeting early, forget it. He told Solomon, there is a time for everything. There's a time to go to church. The time. And the lawless ones don't care when they saunter in, chewing gum and has a choir sang. I see. Where's Episcopal? Is Episcopal here? But what are those two boys doing on the stage? You're wasting time. You got to hear the word of God. A service will start at 7:30. You saunter in at 10 p.m. I said there are laws that govern our lives here. You may think they don't matter, but God looks at your responses to his laws, and he uses them to respond to you. Depart from me, you lawless ones. You may be my beloved, but there are laws that govern when I remove your panties. If I've not put a ring on your finger, I've not bought the cloth and the beads and the sewing machine and the Ecolac bag, I can't remove your panties. But you have not even bought chocolate. You are removing panties. Lawless. Yo, I feel like going to my wife. You are lawless. Don't be lawless. Don't be lawless. God is a God of laws. Don't think it is at USC that you can be lawless and get away. God is not lawless. He doesn't like people who don't follow laws. When he says, meet me here at this time, he expects you to be there. When he says, I've made you a singer, he expects you to be there. 30 years ago, he made me a pastor. I had the chance to go to America, but because of the law of employment, I dropped it. Once you follow laws, there are things you will lose. Anybody who follows laws misses certain things. If you follow the laws of the traffic light, you will lose time. There's a time you must stop for 2 minutes. If you had been driving for the 2 minutes, you would have gone far. But you stop because a law can delay you. A law can take something from you. But you got to obey the law. Because by obeying it, you will live long. By crossing the red light, you are dying instanta. God is a God of knowledge. And by him, actions are weighed. He weighs our actions. Many tekel ufasin. Many tekel ufasin. Your behavior has been weighed in a balance. Your church attendance has been weighed in a balance. Some of you sitting here should have been on stage singing with the choir. But because you are lawless, that's why you are wearing multicolored dress. Many tekel ufasin. Don't think you can walk with God. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of laws. While the earth exists, laws govern this life. Don't think, don't bring your lawlessness here. A day will come, you will know that you wasted your time here. Many of you are wasting your time here because no lawless person will enter into God's rest. Depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. You wear any dress to church. I said, you wear any mini skirt to church. And you dare to bow down when we are worshiping. And a man behind you has seen your polka dot panties. There are laws. You cannot dress anyhow. They are laws. They are laws for rehearsals. I should say that. There are laws for rehearsals. That on Saturday, we are rehearsing for 2 hours. You can't walk in 40 minutes at a time. You are lawless. There are laws in marriage. The law says that when I marry you, I need your vagina. I don't only need carrots and rice and beans. Clap your hands for laws. Before I married you, I was eating carrots and beans and rice. I put the ring on your finger not because I wanted to eat cake and coke. Before I married you, I was eating aboboy. I put the ring on your finger because I need a vagina to use. You can't come into my life and make yourself a Queen Lisbeth. Queen Lisbeth. From today, when you enter any arena of the Christian life, ask yourself, what laws govern life here? You can't be lawless. You cannot. You cannot be lawless. You can't just do anything. You can't just talk to people anyhow. There are laws of offenses. They are lost. You just cannot. You can't talk anyhow to your husband. They are lost governing marriage. I said to you yesterday, you have used AI to get second class. So you think you are intelligent. God is very, very intelligent. So intelligent that he uses time, the time you attended the meeting, to decide how he will reveal himself to you. The fact that you are in the meeting is not the point. When did you come? Because those who seek me early are those who find me. And one of the laws is the law to go. Go. If I had the chance to put a billboard here, I'll write, go. It is the law. Go. It is the law. There is a law in this kingdom. The law says, go. Oh, and this is where I start the message I'm preaching. When you go, make sure you are bringing fruit. You can't go and bring nothing. That you should go and bring forth fruit. Bearing fruit is a sine qua non. Without which not. It's mandatory that you bear fruit. Bearing fruit is not an option, it's not an alternative to singing. It's not an alternative to dancing. If I had the chance to put a billboard here, I would say, bear fruits, it is the law. So go, it is the law. Bear fruits, it is the law. And now the final law is, let the fruit remain, it is the law.
You can't bring. The church is not a rubbish dump where you go and gather rubbish and come and dump it here. No. Part of your evangelistic responsibilities is to ensure that the fruit remains. It is syndromic. It's part of the syndrome. The syndrome has three features: going, bringing fruit, and ensuring the fruit remain. Those three together form a triad that is non-negotiable. You can't be careless. So I want to quickly talk to you about this triad: going, bringing fruit, and the fruit remaining. I mean, look, you must pray that sooner than later there will be a girl sitting on the seventh row in a church, in this church, who is here because you brought her. If there is nobody in God's kingdom whose existence in the kingdom is traceable to you, you are in serious trouble. I take it again. If there is no one in this kingdom whose existence is traceable to you, Abba, you should be very disturbed, because you are a lawbreaker. You are infidel. You are a truce breaker. 2 Corinthians 5:19. What did he do? God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The word he has committed to us is not a word of prosperity. It's not a word of convenience. It's not a word of peace. It is a word of reconciliation. He has committed it to you. You can never shrug it off. You can never imagine it away. He has committed it to you. It's an unshakable demand. He demands it from you. His work was to reconcile the world to himself. And you were once in the world. And when he brought you into the kingdom of light, he also committed to you that word of reconciliation. It's not one of the options of things to do. Anybody who has been reconciled must reconcile. He saved you so you can also save somebody. Verse 18. Spells it out in another way. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself and has given to us. Until we see that you are reconciling the world to God, you can't say you are a new creation. You don't become a new creation by stopping masturbation. You don't become a new creation by breaking up with your boyfriend. You don't become a new creation by starting to sing in the choir. You don't become a new creation by learning to play the keyboard. That you become a new creation. We know you are new when you are ministering the word of reconciliation. Go up one step. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's new. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Verse 18.
and all things, the things which have become new, are of God. So verse 18 is an inalienable part of verse 17. All things have become new. And those all things are of God. The God who reconciled you and has given you the ministry, your coursework, your understanding, your busyness, your pregnancy, your poverty, your prosperity, your problems, your difficulties will never absolve you of your reconciliation responsibilities. There is no singing you will sing in the choir that will buy you out. The singing in the choir can only be your secondary responsibility. I'm preaching to somebody, I don't know who I'm talking to. So, what do? So you can go. So you can bring fruit. So the fruit will remain. The first thing you must do is found in Exodus 21, 26. Exodus 23, 26. Nahata. Karumahas. There shall nothing. I'm quickly taking you through seven behaviors that will make you fruit bearing. Seven what? Behaviors. If you drop one of the behaviors, you'll be barren. The first behavior is found in the scripture. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren. That word barren, the Greek word is akka, which means removal. I'm not preaching to a church tonight. There is nothing I'm saying hereafter that concerns a church. The first behavior you must put up to go and bring fruit and also make sure the fruit remains. The first behavior is that do not remove soul winning from your life. Or in all that, don't you play instruments? Or you don't? Or you do? What do you play? Drums. And you sing. I saw you here. And you do this. And you do that. And you are rapping a girl. And you are doing all that. Make sure that when we list the things you are doing, soul winning is not a part of it. Anybody who removes, like as you are lined up in front of laptops, I hope that you have not removed. You see, some people are unable to go and bring food because they have removed their reproductive organs. You see, once you take a pair of scissors and you nick out your testicular arteries and veins, you are barren. This barrenness talks about removal of the reproductive organs. That's one. Don't remove your testicles. Don't remove your ovaries. It's called the extirpation. Extirpation. You extirpate your testicles. You can extirpate an organ. Remove it surgically. Extirpation. You are dancing. You are studying. You are baking. You are doing side hustles. You are doing this. When you list your activities, soul winning shouldn't be out of your list. You would have extirpated your spiritual testicles.
I will stop preaching suddenly because I don't like the atmosphere of quietness. I'm looking for a reason to just walk out of here. The quietness means that you don't want the message I'm preaching. Sorry. Oh, it's choking you. That's why you are quiet. Oh, is that why you are quiet? Oh, okay. I didn't understand it. When you are quiet, it means that you are receiving the message. All right. Now you can sit down. Don't allow the playing of the bass guitar lead to the extirpation of soul winning. Don't allow your preaching in the church excuse you or lead to the extirpation of your going out. No activity in the kingdom can replace going out. Number two. Leviticus 26, 22. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children. And destroy your cattle. Tonight, I'm laying it plain. And make you few in number. I will send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children. And destroy your cattle. And make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. In the first place, each of you should represent a lot of people. If you are sitting here, you were saved as one person, and you are sitting here as one man in the kingdom, you are breaching common sense. You are in breach of the laws. Because the 1516 mandate, 1516 mandate does not allow you to bring one person or a few. He said, you have not chosen you, me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit shall remain. Now, the fruit that is here, you see one letter, what do you call it? Singular fruit. It doesn't mean one. It just describes the nature of what you are bringing. Because he himself said, you must bear much fruit. Daniel 12 says, those that lead many righteousness shall shine, and they that turn. What, by the way, what is many? If we say many, like what? Plenty. Let's put a number to it. Will you say three is many? Will you say two? Many is what? There were many boys in the room. There were many shoes. Will you say four is many shoes? No. Many is 15, 20, 100. Your mandate is to many. I want to ask you to respectfully reorganize your Christian life. Respectfully, with all due respect, because the clock is ticking. Tomorrow morning, when the sun rises, it means you are closer to your judgment. Organize your Christian life. This is not a lighthouse doctrine. I'm reading the Bible to you. Those that turn, you don't become a star by leading two people to Christ.
Real stars are stars because of the sheer numbers of what they have done. Hussein Bolt is a star, is a mega star because of the many, 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 many awards he has won and the many records he has broken and events he has taken. Michael Jackson was a mega star. Messi is a superstar. Ronaldo is a superstar. The sheer number of goals he has scored even in one season. Nobody becomes a star. God expects you to be a star, not by winning one soul. Nobody does one thing and becomes a star. I'm preaching, baby. Nobody does one thing. No girl sings a song and becomes a star. To be a star, you got to sing many songs, many concerts. You don't become a star by preaching one sermon a week. Currently, I'm doing 5 services a week. That's my minimum. Currently, if I was in Accra, today, Thursday, would be my first service. By Sunday afternoon, I would have done 5 services. I want to be a star. Many things, many songs, many preachings, many services, many things. You don't become a star by dance. This is your watermelon dancing. Nobody becomes a star by doing something 3 times. Check out. Go Google the stars in music, stars in athletics, stars in boxing, stars in the... Nobody becomes a star by beating one opponent. I pray for you that you will turn many people, not as a church growth endeavor, but so that you will make it to heaven. As I have preached a message, the title of the message is The Narrow Way. It's on my podcast. Listen, listen to me. Jesus said, the gate and the road that leads to life is narrow and difficult. Anything you are doing that is not with difficulty is not taking you to a place where life is. If you are sitting here and your entry into the kingdom was easy, you are not in the kingdom. You use the wrong road. If you became a kingdom boy easily, I mean, all you had to do was to add church attendance to your activities. You've done that for 5 years. You are not in the kingdom. You see, this evening, a lot of things have happened here. The woman selling biscuits outside there has heard everything that has gone on here. She's even listening to the preaching. She hears it clearly. In fact, sometimes, depending on the throw of the speakers, those outside hear it even better than those inside. The fact that you can hear what is going on doesn't mean you are in the building. It's a deep saying. The fact that you can hear, you can see. Some of you are here. You can hear, you can see, you are around, and whatever. The fact that you are involved doesn't mean you are in the kingdom. You know you are in the kingdom if it was difficult for you to come. You dealt with brothers and friends. You broke up with that man who was feeding you. The road into the kingdom is a difficult road. Anybody listening to me who came here easily, you are not in the kingdom. You are somewhere. You are lost. Here, you come here with difficulty.
if you just come to sit here, then you're not in the kingdom. God's kingdom, if you have not experienced pain, it means you're not in the kingdom. I'm telling you. I can tell you. Look, the day I got born again, an uncle of mine, he was so angry with me. He made me, I was in form for secondary school. He made me hold my ears to do up and down like this. He just couldn't stand the fact that I'm now attending church. He said, I'm disobeying him. I did this. I broke up with friends, male friends. One of them was the one who was giving me shoes to wear. I had nothing. My shirt in school, we used to wear orange shirts. My shirt was his shirt. And he was a big boy, so my shirt was a bowler shirt. I had folded the arms. But when I got born again, I cut them off. It was painful. You can never say you are in the kingdom if you have not experienced pain. And in that message, I'm sharing with them 10 difficulties every Christian must experience. If you've not experienced the difficulty of changing your music, and you are around, you are still listening to Ira Star. You have added Beyonce to your playlist. Or I should rather say that you have added First Love music to your playlist. The same old songs are the same old song. Look, there must be the pain of loss, the pain of extirpation, the pain of removal. It's on the podcast. Go for it. I will send wild beasts among you. I'm showing you just a few things you must not do. The first one is that don't remove soul winning from the things you are doing, sir. Don't remove. When we check the things you are doing, soul winning should be inside. And then number two, take me back to the previous verse. That verse. Yes. One type of barrenness is the one that you are careless. When you lead a soul to Christ, make sure you don't lose him. I'm saying it gently, as gently as I can, even with my stammering and difficulty in speaking, I'm trying to be gentle about it. I'm just saying gently, romantically, with a soft voice. When you lead a soul to Christ in the hostel, just make sure you don't lose the soul. It's called shackle. Make sure you don't miscarry. Don't be careless. There are some women, once they see pregnancy, they just pack their suitcases and report to the hospital. They put them on the bed 9 months. So they will not cast their young. They are not careless. Not all women in the hospital are sick. Many are there because they don't want to be careless. When you lead a soul to Christ, don't be careless. Don't think your work doesn't end when you lead a soul to Christ. Your work doesn't end. You must make sure that soul stays alive. Don't miscarry. You will pay a high price. Avoid activities that make you miscarry.
many of us here have been careless. You just, for you, soul winning is an errand your pastor sends you on. So you go and talk to the person for your pastor. When they finish, you do a sign of the cross. I'm done. Especially if you are able to pray the sinner's prayer with the person. You are done. You fill the Google form. Once you fill the Google form, Ogbena. You are not done. You are under instruction not to miscarry. Don't lose your young. Your soul must be born. 9 months. Everybody needs your 9 months gestation. And our 9 months, do you know when your 9 months will be up? Oh, I thought you knew that. The 9 months. We are in a womb. You didn't know that? That we are in a womb right now. The real labor is the coming of Christ. We've not been born. We are being saved. Those who make it to the end, they are those who will be saved. I am preaching tonight to keep myself in the womb. I've not made it. You thought you have made it. You have not made it, sir. You are in the womb. Many don't make it to the end. Labor is when the trumpet sounds. Labor is when you have not been saved. It's a gimmick. You have not been saved. We are working out our salvation. We are working out our salvation. You have not been saved. Don't think you have been saved. It's a lie. You've not made it. Oh, you thought you had done because you are a lady bishop. No. You are in a womb. Nine months. Gestation is 9 months. The labor pangs. Read the Bible. Jesus said, these are the beginning of labor pangs. It's like the end. You hear of wars, rumors of wars. The end has not come. These are the beginnings of labor pains. Sir, are you a pastor? You are in a womb. You are not done. When you make it, the coming of Christ is what forces us out of the womb to eternity. So for now, we are still intrauterine. Intra what? We are in the womb. Nobody has made it. You must die saved, or Jesus must meet you saved. The fact that you are preaching doesn't mean you are saved. When I was in class 5, I wrote the common entrance. We had an exam called common entrance. I passed and gained admission to Fanspim School. My mother had no money. So I didn't go. So when I was in class 6, I already mastered the common entrance examination. Remember, I passed it in class 5. So class 6, the 2 terms we used, I was the one teaching my mates.
Yes. I had a class. We have 40. The teacher, the class 6 teacher, handed the class over to me. I was teaching them. The school is top range preparatory school. You can go and find out. I was preparing them. I was their classmate. In the morning, I would go and set questions, write the questions down. They will write it. Those who fall below 6 over 10, or I whip them. Stretch your hand. I was a teaching assistant. I was a teacher. I prepared my class to come on entrance. Of course, when you wrote it, I topped. The fact that I was teaching my mates did not mean I had made it to the end. The fact that you are preaching in church doesn't mean you have finished your work. The fact that you are leading a prayer meeting doesn't mean you have arrived. We are all in the womb of time. There is a day we will know the labor pangs are just... These are Braxton Hicks contractions. Nobody, anybody who is alive has not made it. Anybody who is alive. Nobody told you. You think you are saved? That's not the gospel. We are in the womb. I am working my salvation out. Can you imagine how many girls I can sleep with? How many girls will pay me to sleep with them? Can you imagine how much money I can steal? I am working it. You too, work it out. It is those who endure to the what? They, unless I'm not quoting a scripture. Paul, at the end of his ministry, once you are alive, you should be saying that I may know him. Anybody who says I may know him means that feels he doesn't know him. I want to stop the preaching because it's difficult. It's difficult. That I may know him. You think you said a sinner's prayer? Sinner's prayer? What? Don't preach a false doctrine. We are working out our salvation. When we wake up at dawn to join flow prayer, we are working out our salvation. When you take a Bible, yesterday I was at the airport, I took my Bible, I was having my quiet time, I was working, I have not finished. I can die unsaved. I can die as a drunkard. I can die as a womanizer. I'm fighting to die as a husband of one wife. I'm fighting to die as an obeyer of the gospel. I'm fighting to die pleasing God. Make sure you yourself don't miscarry yourself. Don't come out. It's not time. And when you lead a soul to Christ, make sure that soul, that alone puts an eternal burden on you, not to be careless. Anybody sitting here, anyone watching me, anybody listening to this message, who has a feeling that he is saved, is in danger of hell. Paul didn't think he was saved. How can you say you may know him? If you think you are saved, how can you have such a mind? Today we have Christians 90% of us sitting here didn't read our Bibles today. 90%. You have already become careless. What's number one? What's the first thing you shouldn't do? What? Don't remove soul winning from your life. Number two is what? Don't lose your converts. Write it in English. Do not lose your converts. Don't be careless about the spiritual lives of your converts. Number three. Remove sin and the world from your life. No worldly person can give birth. Worldliness is an abortifacient. Psalm 107, verse 34. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water spring into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness. That word barrenness is a salted land. You see it in Jeremiah 17:6. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land. Melecha. Make sure. You see, when a land is salted, it means it cannot, even if you put a seed on it, it cannot grow. The presence of salt in the land makes it a barren land. There are things, when they are in your life, they make you unable to give birth. You cannot be active sexually sitting here and expect to be fruitful. You cannot be sitting here and you are a heavy better. You are betting. Betting is the salt that renders you incapable of bearing fruit. Betting. It is gambling. There's a movie star who owes a casino $50 million. I don't know how he's going to pay. Yes. He owes the casino owes him, as you say. The casino owes. He has gambled his life and has taken certain things. And he must pay the casino $50 million. Is this UST here that people use their school fees to bet? It was in the news. Break away from sin. You can't be hiding with a guy, we all know him as your beloved, but secretly he puts his finger into your vagina once a while and tickles you, and you are mooing and eyeing. Once a while, he holds your nipple and tunes it a little. He tunes it. When he gets 104.3, then he stops.
You cannot do that and win souls. You cannot do that and win souls. Remove Asake from your playlist. Remove Stone Boy from your playlist. Remove Miss V from your playlist. Remove Efia from your playlist. Remove Shatawale from your playlist. Remove Banner Boy from your playlist. Remove Davido from your playlist. Remove Ira Star from your playlist. Go away! You will not make it. You will not make it. You will not make it. They render you barren. These are the salts. You must never allow him to see your panties again till your wedding day. Never do that. A salted land. The land is a good land, but there's a presence of salt which renders any seed you put on that land incapable of growing. Some of you, if we even win the soul and we give the soul to you to follow the soul up, you sleep with the soul. It is in this UST here, one of my church members, she was in Africa Hall. A barber came, she was cutting, the barber was cutting her hair. She was alone. In the middle, I think she had cut half or so. In the middle, she held the barber's hand and removed the barber's hand from her head and went and closed the door and the windows. She had sex with the barber. When they finished, she wiped the sperms and then she continued cutting her hair. Africa Hall. Anything with a penis is of interest to you. Are you a detective? Come out from among them. You can't be here and have unbeliever friends as your friend. You cannot. It's the law. You cannot be here and have unbelievers in your circle of friends. It is the law. You cannot. There is nothing, no adulation, no praise, no commendation, no excellence. There is nothing you will do in the house that will allow you to have unbelievers in your life. Remove them from your life. It is the law. That is if you are interested. If you are not interested, get out of here. Go and live your life. Go and live your life. Remove God from your life. Live a godless life and enjoy the consequences. Don't be a salted land. The land is good, but the existence of salt, something has been put in the land. There's a music in the land. There are some movies in the land. You cannot. There was a movie on Netflix, and I read the ratings and the reviews, and I realized that it was just sex. I said, I won't watch it. I don't need. I won't watch it. I won't watch it. But you, when you pick the phone, you look at the top left. If there's no sex in the things, on the list of the things in the movie, you just off it. It's salt. You wonder why you are not growing, why you can't win a soul, why you are so indifferent to the Spirit of God, so indifferent to the power of God. You are numbed. You are inert to the atmosphere of God's power. You are in a place the power of God is moving. God's presence is there. People are weeping. People are on the ground. People are on the floor. And you are there. You don't feel the presence. You are inert. You are inert. People are lifting their hands. People are worshiping. People are on the floor. They are kneeling down. They are feeling the presence. And you are there. You are just there chewing gum. You are inert to the presence of God. Because you are just in the church because a girl you want to sleep with said you should come. You are here to fulfill your obligations. Remove the salt. I'm not preaching to a church. I'm talking to you. Whatever represents salt in your life makes you barren and you will pay for it. It means you are lawless. Number four. Proverbs 30 verse 16. New Living Translation. Something is coming. Verse 15. The leech has two suckers. Those are suction parts that enable it, that facilitate motility. And mobility, I should say. Mobility. The leech has two suckers that cry out, more, more. Everybody say, more, more.
More.
I can't hear you.
More.
Again.
More.
Again.
More.
The leech has two suckers. It puts one sucker on you, second sucker on you, and then it begins to climb. And what the suckers that are stuck on you say is, more, more. Now, there are three things that are never satisfied. I'm talking to somebody tonight. There are three things that are never satisfied. No, they are not three. Four. That never say enough. They always say, more, more. It never says, it's enough. It's enough. Let's stop here. It's enough. No. They rather say, more. Don't put one finger inside. Put your hand inside. The leech has two suckers that cry out, more, more. Now, there are three things. No, there are four. They are never satisfied. The grave will never say enough of dead bodies, so no one should die again. There's always space for someone to be buried. The barren womb. Oh.
the thirsty desert, the blazing conflagration. The blazing conflagration. One of these more is the barren womb. And that word barren is a special word. It's ote, which means to hold back, to restrain. Katuna hasa. Madiko suba. Niakasa. The barren womb. The fourth thing, is it fifth or fourth? Fourth thing you must never do is to hold back. Do not hold back. Don't put restraints. Don't belt yourself up. Let yourself go. Why? Why? Why should you not restrain yourself? Once you restrain yourself from outreaches and bearing fruits, so you are in the church, just like you, exactly like you. Yeah, I mean you. You are a barren womb. But I'm about to say something to you. That's why it says the leech has two suckers. More. And he said, there are three things. No. Four. They say, not enough. They never say enough. You see, when you are in church and you restrain yourself from bearing fruit for God, what you don't know is that that life you are living, oh, I could write a paper on this. That life you are living does not say enough. Doesn't say that. You got a job in Stanbic. And don't join this useless outreach. Yes, she's a grandmother. She has nothing to do. That's why she's into these outreaches. If she has something to do, she will be sending us out. She has something to do. She's a grandmother. Don't bite them. Don't mind them. Concentrate on your profession. So just like this, just like what you've done, they fold their hands and they restrain themselves from bearing fruit. But see, what they don't know is that the spirit that makes you behave like this, no, do it, come. Yes. The spirit that makes you behave like this, what you don't know is that he makes you do this towards outreaches and church work. But what you don't know is that spirit is the spirit of the sucker of the leech. It doesn't know that it's enough. So it makes you also fold your hands in your marriage. Then it makes you fold your hands in the raising of your children. Then it makes you fold your hands in the job. You may think that you are doing, you know, that condition called Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is only a psychopathic, psychiatric condition. It doesn't exist in real life. Split personality. What you are in church, see, as you see me here, that's how I am in school. I was in school. I was in Kolebu Teaching Hospital. I was as a radiologist, all out. Even when I was an unbeliever,
I did multiple services in nightclubs. I start with one around 8 o'clock. 10:30, we are leaving to the next one. By 2 a.m., we are in the fourth service. What you think you are doing in the church, you'll be surprised that you'll be doing it in your marriage, in your job, with your family, in the important places of your life. Because that spirit says more. More areas to restrain yourself. More areas to hold back. I'm preaching, baby. I'm preaching, baby. See how you were jumping on the stage dancing? That's how you also be jumping in the bedroom with your husband. And the girl, I'm preaching, sir. The girl who should be dancing and fold your hands. In the bedroom also, she folds her hands. She's like a man. And Bob Marley says, man to man is unjust. So you are a married woman with a ring, but your husband has engaged a jumper. Engaged what?
A jumper.
Because every man wants a jumper. So once you've restrained yourself here, any spirit that makes you fold your hands in church will make you fold your hands in your job. You will never last in a job. Because it is a spirit that does not know the English word enough. So most of you, what you are doing in the church that you think is church, some of you will transmit it to your child. Your child will fold his hands in class 3 and will never unfold it till he drops out in class 7. Your child. Some of you sitting here, your wickedness, I'm telling you where I'm standing, some of you here, your child will never finish school. Because there's any spirit that makes you fold your hands in church, is a spirit that doesn't know that church is enough. Or you are enough. As you folded your hands to God, your daughter has folded her hands to you. I have lived long enough. That's why I said I can write a paper on this. I have enough data to produce an academic paper. I can give you names of people who behaved in a certain way in the church and it replicated itself because that spirit does not know the English word enough. It always says more, more folding of hands. Let his wife fold her hands. Let her husband fold her hands. Let his boss fold his hands at work. As he has folded his hands, let his boss also fold his hands and never give him the money he deserves. Because it's a spirit that says more. That is why if I were you, I'll be all out in the church. Everyone under the sound of my voice must overcome the spirit of the leech. Overcome it. Don't allow any spirit to make you fold your hands, because that spirit always says more, more. Let her beloved fold his hands. Let his beloved fold her hands. I read again. The leech has 2 suckers that cry out more, more. Whatever you are doing for God will be done to you times 10 more. There are 3 things. No, 4. That never say enough. I've noticed whatever I have done for God, my children have done to me. My house has done it to me. My wife has done it to me. My boss in the hospital did it to me. One day he called me, said he wanted me to go to Germany for a conference. And I told him I have a convention. Can you kindly ask Samuel to make that? He was incensed. Who are you to tell me what to do? I said you should go. Do you know why I didn't call Samuel?
said, I'm sorry. He said, never talk to me like that again. I said, you are going to Germany. Even what you want to push away. Because I have never folded my hands. I have never done this. Over the things of God. 20 years ago, I was in Manhattan, New York. Bishop Dagwood Mills was having a miracle service. And he had his doctors. I was in a congregation sitting on the third row. He preached powerfully in Manhattan 20 years ago. That ostensibly might have been the first miracle service in the U.S. Then somebody got healed. My eye, my right eye, I was seeing some like particles. I couldn't see well. But now when I put my hand there and you prayed, it's gone. Then Bishop would say, wow, put your hands together for the doctor. And he asked the doctor, doctor, what condition is this? And the doctor was fumbling and didn't know what to do, what to say. Then another person came. He said, I came here tonight. I had pain here. I couldn't bend. It's called the Van Zandt sign. Van Zandt sign of acute pancreatitis. I couldn't bend. I couldn't lean forward. Van Zandt. When you were preaching, we said we should put our hand there. And I put my hand there. I can't believe it. The pain is gone. The pain is gone. Doctor, what is this? Maybe he has an ulcer. Yes, it's true. Maybe he has an ulcer and gastritis. And I couldn't help it. I don't know. Up to today, I don't know what shot me from the third row. I went there and snatched the microphone from his hand. Nobody had called me. I snatched it from his hand and said, what we are discussing here, we are seeing here, is a typical sign of acute pancreatitis or sometimes esophageal reflux or acute esophagitis or gastritis or acute on chronic pancreatitis. Sometimes also duodenitis also with some form of either cholelithiasis or cholecystitis. The video is there. The video is there. Prophet, what? Quiet. Nobody called me. So I knew Edwin, who called you? I knew that I had disrupted a move of the spirit. He stood there, was watching me. After about 5 seconds, which is a very long time, he burst out laughing. I've never seen him laugh like that before. So the guy came to pass. Somebody came and said, I couldn't bend my knee and so on. And then, doctor, what is this? Then I took the microphone again. I said, oh, this either a meniscal tear or sometimes a ligamentous sprain. Or these are also typical signs of OA, grade 2, grade 3 OA. Osteoarthritis. He burst out laughing again. I don't want to bore you. That began my life in healing Jesus campaign. Sir, I will kneel down to tell you that my wife has never folded her hands towards me. Never. There's nothing I have needed. My wife has folded her hands. My son, my daughter, has never folded their hands because I have never folded my hands. By the grace of God, I have overcome the spirit of the leech. Never allow it to dominate your life. Don't be in church and fold your hands because that spirit never knows the word enough. Don't allow it. Never restrain yourself. I pastor two churches, two separate church buildings at my congregation as I stand here. I'm over 55 years old. I have never restrained myself. I have a service tonight, a miracle service on Thursday. Because I'm here, I have moved it to tomorrow. I have never, never let pain, poverty, pleasure, prosperity, never let anything make you fold your hands, because that spirit is a spirit. If you can start a basenta in addition to dancing, don't restrain yourself. If you can win two souls, don't win one. Never restrain yourself, because it is the spirit of the suckers of the leech. It always says more, more. Clap your hands and celebrate the power that makes you overcome that spirit of the leech. Clap in your hands. Keep clapping your hands. And begin to pray. I will never fold my hands in church. I will do more. I will do more. No money, no position, no situation. I will never withhold myself.
Keep clapping your hands and pray. The grace to do more. That you do more. Lebella dosa, Rakadabe, Masha Palaba, Rekapayaba, Repetayaba. Lord, help me to do more in your hands. Lepayaba, Lekadabayaba, Repayaba, Masha Palabe, Repayabalaba, Rekadabalaba. Help me, Lord, to do more.
Your two hands.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to give you one more.
Yes.
All right, now your hands are lifted up in surrender to God.
Oh, Jesus.
And in defiance of any outer spirit. Some of you think that it is the church. This behavior is the church. You will see it in your son one day. You will see it. You will see yourself
doing the same. I said, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, split personality is not a normal day-to-day life. What you are in church is what you will be at home. Lift your two hands. Father, Father,
Jesus,
I thank you.
Yes.
For Art of Evangelism Conference.
Oh.
And I thank you for ES Joy.
Thank you, Father.
I thank you for her ministry. I thank you for her blessings. I thank you for her giftings.
Oh, yes.
Thank you for her graces. Thank you for the many things you are doing.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Bless this church.
Jesus.
Help anybody who helps her.
Professor.
Curse anybody who curses her.
Jesus.
Frustrate anybody who frustrates her.
Jesus.
Let her hand be free.
Amen.
To serve you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Every head bowed. If you are here, you are not born again. I want to pray for you right now. I want to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. If you are here like that, you want to be born again. Lift your hand. I want to pray for you. You want to give your life to Christ. This is the most important decision. I want to help you. Lift your hand high. Pastor, pray for me. I want to be born again. I want to know Jesus. Is anyone hand up there? Father, we thank you for this great blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makenna Cathedral near Valley View University, OUB, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.